Okay, would you welcome our online audience? Good morning, everybody watching on the internet. God bless you guys. We love you. Mwah to all of you. Go ahead, grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. All right. And I'm a walker, so I need to make a little more room here. I'm going to knock myself out. All right. Romans, chapter 12. We've been in a series entitled POV, Point of View. And the context there is how we see ourselves, how we see our future, how we see God's Word. All of that affects what we believe. All of that affects where we go, how far we're going to go, how high we're going to go. Our potential, our destiny. So it's really important that we know that we're seeing correctly, that what we see lines up with God's truth. Now, I'd like to kind of set a little foundation here. It is possible to think something is true, but yet it not be true according to God's standard of truth. Do you understand that? It is possible for us, in other words, to believe a lie. A lie would be something that is not what God has said about your life, what God has said about your potential, what God has said about your future and your destiny. It is possible for us to think something to be true, but yet it really be false. Do you believe that? It is true. That is true. That's why the Bible is so good. That's why God's Word is so good. God's Word is God's revealed will and His truth for our lives, our situation. And it's unbending. That's what I like about the Bible. The Bible doesn't change based on other people's opinions, but the truth of the Word regarding your hope and future, regarding your potential and God's plan for your life, it doesn't change based on your own personal failures. It doesn't change based on whether or not someone hurts you. Does that now make God's Word untrue? No, God still speaks a better word over your life if you will allow Him to bring your life back to His truth. Yes, we fail. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, things happen in our world, in our lives that hurt and that challenge us. But God's will over your life doesn't change. But will we agree with and get in alignment with His will? I love that His will over our life doesn't change based on what happens around us or what other people think or even what we do to ourselves. God has a way to fix it if we'll allow Him to work that process. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I want to talk to you about your thinking. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can we agree together that this topic is involving our way of thinking? Half of us agree with that. Okay, you want me to read it again to you? Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Great. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I'm going to highlight that right there, proving the will of God, what is acceptable, what is good, what is perfect. That's the truth. What's acceptable to God is only His version of truth. What's approved by God is only His version of His vision over your life. That's what I'm saying is when we have to bring ourselves back to God's standard, God's dreams, God's wills over our world, over our belief systems and to chart our course. But I want you to see here that the Bible says that the world, it says, do not be conformed to this world, which tells me the journey through this world is constantly trying to change the way we think, to change the way we see things, to conform us into its image, the world's image, or the result of the world's systems, or the result of the world's way of thinking. You need to see that it is not just God's desire or God's will to get you moving in the right direction. The world we live in is trying to move us in the opposite direction. Are you understanding that? And there's constant contact or conflict between the thoughts and the mindsets that we pick up living in this world. And we need a constant renewing or washing or reminding us of what's acceptable to God, of what the will of God is, of the good things that God has spoken over our lives. You know, you can look at it from the perspective of lies, the lies the world preaches. You know, you have to have such and such amount of success or money, or this many people need to think you're amazing in order for you to be amazing. Now, those are lies. You understand that? You're amazing because you are the handiwork of God. Give me an amen on that. All right. And God's got a plan and a destiny for every single person. not just the great ones. We're all great because he specifically designed each and every one of us. His great mind thought you up and brought you here. It's pretty powerful. So you could say, don't be conformed to the lies of this world. You know, they preach lies of, you know, God isn't real, or be the master of your own destiny, or who knows what lies we think. And we think that's what it means to be conformed to the way the world thinks, is by believing the lies. But you know, there's other ways that we're tempted to conform to this world too. And it's not just the lies. It's the actual walk through this world itself. It's the actual journey in this world. It's not just the negative gospel or the fear-driven gospel that the world preaches, or the sinful, selfish gospel the world preaches. It's the actual journey in this world. We have to understand, this is a fallen world. This is not the version of what God created. When God looked at the world and said, it is good, this wasn't it. Everything we see here is a result of what our sin has done to this. Okay, now we have to buy into that. We have to see that. You know, people say, well, if there's God was so loving, why is there famine? Why is there war? Why is there plagues and pestilence and starvation and pride and backbiting and prejudice and hate? That's all here because of our sin. That's not here because God put it here. Okay, so we just need to kind of back that up. Okay, now, because we live in a fallen world, it's not just the lies the world preaches, but it's what we do and what the fall of people does and the curse that we've brought onto this planet does. People hurt people. People walk out on us. People lie to us. They say, I'm going to love you forever, and they just love you till there's another option. People with their pride and their selfishness cut in front of us in life and cut us off from our success, we thought. You know, they stole that position from us, or they cheated their way to the top and pushed us to the back, and they've set this, you know, to spoil my success. And, you know, it's kind of a dog-eat-dog world, they say, out there. And, you know, there's pastors that have sinned and hurt congregations. There's congregations that have sinned and hurt pastors. There's people out there with their own agenda trying to manipulate the masses to make as much money as possible on people. And there's hurt and pain, and there's sickness, which has taken people that we love out of life way too early. There are people that get in cars drunk, and they take the life of a young person in an alcoholic drunk accident that never should have happened. There are things that happen that people have planned in their evil way of thinking to destroy you. But then there's also things that just happen because it's a fallen world that we live in. And there's traumatic experiences, and there's accidents that go on, and there's sudden hurts and pains and traumas that happen in our lives that affect the way we think. Let's go back to this Romans verse again. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Don't let this world and the journey you've been on shrink you and conform you and change you from something other than the truth of what God has said over your life. Are you understanding this? But first we need to identify that perhaps an event, a failure, a mistake, a hurt, an accident could possibly be affecting the way I see truth. Could possibly be affecting my expectation for the rest of my life. Because remember, your point of view changes how you live and changes what you believe for. And sometimes in shoving down our pain and shoving down our accident, never dealing with it, because the Bible doesn't say just shove it down and ignore it. It says be transformed and be renewed and get your thinking right again, because that's affected you. But you need to be honest that it has affected you. See, I have a teaching I do called Believing Believers. There are people that will never come to the place where they say, I don't believe in God, because they know they do. But they may not be believing God the way they used to believe God because of a disappointment, a hurt, something that didn't happen when they prayed. And it now skews them from believing God. They believe that he's there, but they don't believe him with that simplistic childlike faith that they used to have. Are you understanding that I'm saying? And we need to be aware and to understand that hurt hurts, and traumatic things need to be dealt with and healed properly rather than just letting it heal all, thinking it's going to go away over time. Time doesn't heal all wounds. There's process and there's things that God has given us to heal those wounds. But the truth is there is a real place of healing. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world. Don't let this world shrink you or steal, kill, and destroy the vision and the future and the relationships and the beauty of God's dream over your life. But we have to realize there's been certain things that have popped up in our life that have tried to conform us. Now, the idea of renewing your mind, if you look into that word in the Greek, it actually has within it the connotation of renovation. Have you ever done a renovation in your house? Anybody ever done a renovation? Renovations get messy, right? And they take way longer than the guy told you. You start the process. How long is it going to take? About 3 days. 17 years later, you have a new cabinet, one cabinet, because it's been on back order for 16 and a half years. Anyways, but this idea of renew, we want God to just kind of plunk us on the head and say, your brain is renewed, everything's better, just slap your hand on me, pray for me, pastor, and it's all there, it's all better. And this concept here of renewing your mind takes an effort on your part, but it's also this idea of renovation. You need to realize renovations take time, and they can look messier at first than you thought. You thought it was just going to be, oh, take out a cabinet. You didn't realize, I said this a few weeks ago when I preached in an encounter service, and this is just a small portion of today's message, but we went to renovate a kitchen a few years ago, and we pulled out one cabinet and realized there was a giant beehive behind that cabinet. Sometimes when you get into the mess, you don't realize how much of a mess was in there. Okay? And it takes a lot of work, a lot more work than you anticipated. But the point is, it's all progress. Even though you might think you're getting worse before you get better, the truth is you're actually getting better the entire time. You know, God may be bringing things up, hurts, pains, confusions, lies, thought processes, attitudes, all these things that you didn't know were a problem. And in the beginning, you're like, I really have problems, you know? But all of that's coming up because God is bringing you to his version of goodness, his version of truth, his version of freedom, because he doesn't ignore problems, he fixes them. Okay? He fixes them. Amen. And so the idea of renovation, you know, there's the pull out the old and there's the put in the new, and that may take some time. I want you to see a verse here, Psalms 23, and I want you to read it with me. We're going to read it off the screen together, okay? We're going to do a little Christian exercise together. Can we do a Christian exercise? All right. Psalms 23. Read this with me, please. The Lord is my shepherd. The word with me, that involves all of us working together. Okay. The Greek of the word with me is do it with me. It's not with, it's not there. I am mocking them and I don't even have reason to mock them, guys. We're going to edit this out for television, this whole thing. All right. Then open it up in your Bibles, because if it's not in your Bible, you have a defective one. All right? Or I'll say it then and you say it in case we're all on different pages. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There it is. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. We're going to get back to that, okay? He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you give God praise for his word, please? All right. Now you might say, Pastor Kevin, I don't see how doing something that simple makes a difference. We're going to get back to that in a little bit. But I want to highlight the idea that he restores my soul. Most biblical teachers will say that the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, a couple things I want to point out here. One, why would the Bible tell us that he restores our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, unless there were going to be times in our lives that we need restoring? Sometimes we think as a believer, as a child of God, you know, we shouldn't need that. But yet our good shepherd says he's here to do that. Does it make you a weak Christian or inferior Christian because you need help getting better, renewing your mind, will, and your feelings, your emotions? Are you understanding this? It's part of the package of having a good shepherd, and it's part of the idea that God knows we're walking through a journey in this world, and the world's going to lie to us, but also going to hurt us. Things are going to happen. And that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. Again, like I said, accidents happen, traumatic things happen, or even if you did do it wrong, he still has a way to restore us. the good shepherd. He restores my soul. And I love it that it doesn't say, hey, go fix yourself, buddy. It says he restores our soul. Isn't that great? You can be honest with God and say, that really hurt. That was really a problem. I really blew it here. I really failed there. I was really stuck in a lie there. And God says, I'm so glad you've come to me with this because I know how to get you better. But we have to admit first there's a problem and we have to then go to him for help. I believe God has a way of restoring our soul. Again, as much as I would love to say, hey, just come on down here. I'll lay hands on you. And in laying hands on you, your mind will be renewed. Your soul will be restored. Everything's going to be, you know, happy, happy in your life. There's a process. How does God restore your soul? I believe God restores our soul using three ways. Now, I know there may be more, but these are the three ways that I truly believe God works through. And they just so happen to be the core values of our church. I believe God uses the word of God, to restore your soul, to renew your mind. The word of God is unchanging. The word of God is truth. Like I said in the beginning, whether somebody says a lie, whether you mess things up and you think God has changed his mind about you, the word continues to preach a better word over your life, a hope and a future. I love that. You know, how would I know if I have a crooked stick in my hand if I didn't have a straight stick? And the word becomes that straight stick. And I can look and see where my POV or my point of view or thoughts about myself, about others, about my destiny, about my dreams, I can begin to see if they line up to what the truth. See, God's true. It is his truth. It's his version of truth. I always go back to that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if my truth, my vision over my life, my perspective over my life does not line up to his, then I believe a lie because it's not the truth that God says. See, so I need to know the word so that I know what truth is. I know because what I see with my eyes isn't even true. Or what I feel in my feelings. You know, feelings can lie. I don't know if you knew that or not. They can. Yeah. Yeah. Feelings can lie. Amen. Your vision can lie. But yet the truth remains the same. We must get the truth hidden in our heart. That's not going to change. It's going to take effort. It's part of the renovation process. It takes work. It's going to bring some mess in a way because it's going to uncover a bunch of stuff. But it's all going to bring healing. But even in the word bringing us truth, praise God, we're not alone in that. He also says the Spirit. The Spirit, the Word, the Spirit. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Now, in him being our helper, I want you to see this. It's very theological. In him being your helper, he is there when we need help. You're brilliant theologians. Way to go, everybody. Give yourself a golf clap. So many times when we are in the middle of a traumatic experience, pain, sorrow, hurt, confusion. We can't find our way. We know something's not right because it's not lining up with the word, but we think we've got to get ourselves back there. He has been sent. The Holy Spirit has been sent to help us renew our minds, to help us learn that word. He brings back to remembrance what Jesus has taught. He helps us understand that word. He applies it and makes it what's called rhema. It's a big word, but makes it revelation in our lives of how this word applies to you and how it empowers you and equips you to become the vision of God over your life. So God isn't sitting here saying, fix yourself. He's saying, here's the truth. It's going to set you free. Here's my help to help you align to that truth and empower you so you can do what the Bible says you're capable of doing. We say that every Sunday, don't we? Because the helper, his power is there. His ability is there. His anointing is there. His compassion. He's our comforter as well. So when our emotions are all over the place and we've been hurt or wounded or we failed and we feel like a failure, the comforter can come back and say that the blood of Jesus can fix that too. Amen. Yeah, you could celebrate how good your God is, right? That's what that's about. The Word, the Spirit, but then lastly in that conversation is relationships. Sometimes we discount the need we have for each other. And we're in our room trying to get better by ourselves, praying in tongues that God heals us and fixes our hurt and fixes our heart. And we refuse because of fear or because of even the wound. We refuse to allow anyone else in to help us. But yet God tells us in his word that we are to bear one another's burdens. That's part of the healing process. For two or more to gather and pray over that situation so that you're not praying over it yourself alone. God has even given you teachers and pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets to be part of your growth and renewing process to teach you and educate you like a coach on the outside that can say, hey, if you adjust this, you'll win. If you do this exercise, you'll grow strong and you'll overcome the frailties of your past or of your present. Are you understanding that? All of these are relationships. We need each other to renew as well. You know, so many times we think, I'll just renew my mind by myself. I'll just restore my soul by myself. God has a way to restore our soul, but it's going to involve His Word. It's going to involve His Spirit. And it's going to involve opening up and being vulnerable and letting other people in. But that also puts a responsibility on all of us, too. That we never abandon people in their need, in their growth, in their hurt, in their pain. Are you understanding that? That we, not just pastor, we the body are here to help each other on this journey of healing. We have to believe there is a healing. We have to believe there is truth and there is freedom, but we also have to see our part to plan it. I want to have Pastor Scott and Shar Gibson come out. Would you welcome them as they come out, please? Pastor Scott has been on a journey in the last couple of months that I believe is a great illustration of what I'm trying to communicate today. And he's still on that journey. We're going to say that there's still some distance to go, but God is doing such a great work. But today I want to kind of put this together with a story, his story, and how all this kind of works together. Give you some background on Pastor Scott and Shar, in case you're unfamiliar with them, maybe you're new to the church. Pastor Scott is our marriage and family pastor. Before that, he was our Rockford campus pastor. And he also helps us with all facility, grounds, maintenance between all of our campuses. So he does a lot. And then Pastor Shar, she's our event coordinator. So things like the Harvest Fest, volunteers, things like that for all these outreaches that we do, she runs that. And then she's my personal assistant as well and keeps me all put together. So basically Shar runs what we call the world. So, absolutely. So would you give them a hand clap of gratitude just for what they do? All right. Scott, as we kind of bring this illustration together, because I really want to paint a picture for everybody, would you tell them what happened this summer, kind of the journey you've been on?
Well, on the Friday of the Empower Conference, I was getting ready for the Saturday night men's event.
So that was the very beginning of June.
Yeah, it was 3 months ago yesterday.
Okay.
And I was putting some posts in to put some fencing up, and I was using a post driver. And as I went to put the post into the ground, I went down on it. And when I did, I felt something like a pain in my head. And the next thing I know, I'm on the ground looking up at the sun. And a few minutes later, I'm in an ambulance and being taken to the hospital. And I put a gash in my head and had to have 6 stitches. And anyways, they sent me home and told me to get some rest and everything would be fine. And I basically slept pretty much from Friday afternoon till Monday morning. I'd get up every now and then and drink something, go to the bathroom, eat something, and then, you know, I'd just be in bed. And Monday it was like, I need to get up, and Monday is my normal, like, day off. And so I was thinking, I need to get up so I can get back to work the next day kind of thing. And so I started getting up and like getting around and just doing some things. And I started, every time I'd move, I'd get sick and just was having a lot of problems all throughout the day. And finally ended up back in the emergency room that night. And they told me I needed to go see a neurologist and there was some, stability and equilibrium issues that it was a concussion, and I was dealing with like post concussion syndrome. And so
what were some of the things you were seeing, feeling that had changed? What was going on? Give some examples of that.
I couldn't walk across the floor without telling myself the floor was flat. The floor felt like it was this way all the time, and it felt like I was in a fun house. Sometimes just get real dizzy and the whole room would spin. Other times it was just, the floor was just, it felt like I was, you know, on a waves or something. And so I'd have to, like, just to walk across the kitchen, I'd have to tell myself the floor's flat. And I was, for the first few weeks, I was on a cane. And I was having to hold on to the wall, even with the cane, just to get across the kitchen floor. And the doctor told me, I live in a tri-level house, and the doctor told me not to use the stairs at all. And I'm like, well, it's either I don't sleep or I don't eat. So which would, and, but, I would use the stairs, but I would have to literally just hold on to both sides going up and just, everything. First time I went to the doctor driving down the road, if you picture the world not flat, but in a tunnel, that's basically the way I saw everything. The buildings on the side of the road were now in the middle of the road. The car next to us was actually on top of us. And all those kind of things. I went to Walmart and was walking down a grocery aisle, and the aisles felt like they were like tilting in on me. And then the end of the aisle felt like it was tilting in. So it's kind of the Alice in Wonderland, the little door feeling. You're just getting smaller and smaller. And then you put people in that aisle, and it's like, and my brain would just shut down. And so I'd stand there with the cart, just not knowing where to go. And I'd just be like frozen. And, Char, one of the girls would have to come and grab a hold of the cart and just start to pull me a little bit and start walking me along. And then all of a sudden I could start walking again.
So you would feel like the world was caving in on you. You would feel, claustrophobic, like you couldn't breathe, and panic, you know, fear, all those things, like it's all on top of you. And, you know, one of the ways this conversation started about why I thought this would be good for the church was Scott came in one of our meetings together, and he sat down. One of the first things he said when he sat down is, I know that what I see with my eyes isn't the truth. You know, and that's where this all kind of comes together here, is the devil and the world and our hurt and traumatic experience. Like this happened, like with Scott, it was just like that. You know, you don't know when hurt's going to hit. You don't know when a trauma's going to hit. You don't know when an accident's going to happen. And it affects you greater than you thought it was going to affect you. You know, like Scott, you know, he said, you know, it was 6 stitches, and he thought he was just going to go to work the next day. And how many times do we think, oh, I should just be able to shake that off, and yet you don't realize that you've actually changed, and the world, your perception of the world has changed based on that hurt or that wound or that failure. And maybe this time you didn't get up as fast as you did last time, or maybe somebody else, you know, maybe somebody else went through a divorce. Maybe you're going through a divorce and they healed so fast, and you look at yourself like, what's wrong with me? I should be able to heal like them. Or we all heal differently, right? And you put yourself under all this pressure of expectation of what you think your level of development should be, or how healed you should be, or how far along you should be. You know, but the idea here is that what he saw and what he felt wasn't the truth. It wasn't the reality. When the devil tries to tell you that he's going to win, that's not true. When the devil tries to tell you have no hope in the future, that's not true. That you're always going to live with this deficiency or this problem caused by that pain or that trauma. You just have to accept it and just learn how to live with this worldview that everything's falling apart. That's not true. God still has a plan for your life. God still has a future for you. God still has a freedom for you. And Scott, you know, consistently has needed in this process to remind himself what's real. The floor is flat, right? Just like some of us, maybe we've sinned, maybe we've done something, and the truth is that we've confessed our sin and God's forgiven us, yet we still feel condemned. We have to continue to stand on the truth that says that he's forgiven me based on Jesus, even though that is still in my point of view, that is still clouding my vision, you know, and my future and stuff. What were some of the mind games that affected you during that time, some of the feelings?
Well, just like I said, it was like, I felt like I should just get up and, you know, go back to work or go back and do whatever it is I need to do. And I shouldn't be just laying there. And so I kept playing this over, and then, you know, I kept playing over what actually happened, the little of it I can remember. You know, I did that 1,000 times. I couldn't, you know, I was like, what could I have done differently? What should I have done differently? How could I, you know, how could all of this come from this little, you know, just small thing? And, and then that processed into, I look fine on the outside, you know, the stitches were gone, the cut was healed up, but I still wasn't able to walk across the room correctly. And I wasn't able to, stand up right away, and I had to like stand and lean against something and all these things. And so all that's playing in my head of, I can't do this. And then I second guessed everything because what I saw wasn't real. So, when the building's in the middle of the road and you know it's not there, it's like you second guess everything. And so driving down the road, I'd slam on the brakes, when Char's driving, I'd clutch onto the side of the car just to keep myself steady. All these things were going on. And I second guessed me, and then it got to the point of just, am I going to be this way forever? What do I do? How do I look at this? And all those things are lies. All those things are not true. Just like what I was seeing wasn't true, what I was seeing in my mind was not true either. And I had to continually remind myself that when I get to that point of just, this is not true.
And you had to continue to remind yourself that this will change. This will change. I remember back during that Empower conference, it was interesting, it all happened during that time. In this service, the 11 o'clock service, Pastor Derek Smith preached, I thought, a beautiful message on tragic things or disappointing things or things that happen just that hurt. And he said, Christians so many times try to find meaning or what could I have done different? We replay it over and over and over again. What is God teaching me? And all, God can teach us through anything. That's awesome. That's true. But there are things that happen, my friend, I want to tell you, that do not come from the hand of God. Okay? That we, again, live in a fallen world. We make mistakes. There are real accidents that are just that, accidents. They're not set up by God. God is not the problem. He's not the author of your pain either. If God was your problem, we'd all have a problem. Does that make sense? God is the answer to our problem. He is the solution to the problem. But it's important that we also realize that sometimes tragedies are just tragedies. There's no meaning in it. There's no purpose in it. It's not like, well, God wanted Scott to have this concussion so he could learn this big lesson. No, it was an accident. There are things that happen that cause a point of view change, that cause our belief system to change, that cause our attitude to change, that we think are going to be that way. And sometimes we just have to realize, hey, the past needs to get in the past, and I will never know why that happened. I will never know the answer. I will never know the cause, but I do want to get to my future. So sometimes I just got to let go of the past and leave it in the past. Does that make sense? All right. In that, let's talk a little bit about the recovery process. Let's move into some of your therapy and some of all that.
Once I went to the neurologist, he had me start going to physical therapist to get some of the things that the stability and all the different issues that I was struggling with under control. And I had to start doing things. He told me right away, you're going to get as much out of it as you put into it. And so I had to start doing some things to make it happen. It wasn't just, he said, go home and you'll be okay. I had to start physically. And so I would go into the physical therapy, and she'd have me do these things that I'm looking at her going, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? And it's like, I'd have to take a playing card and hold it out in front of me and move it back and forth across my eyes and not move my head. And, I thought, this is crazy. And I'm not real coordinated to begin with. And so I'm thinking, is this me or is this just the coordination? But I struggled the first time in physical therapy. I actually got sick, and they spent about 30 minutes getting me to a point where they could even put me in the car to go home. And, I didn't even get through one thing. But each time I went back, they added more stuff and they got more things. And even still, she told me the next time I come back, she's going to have me doing at, a higher level than what she's had me at before. And there's still times where she has to stand behind me and say, the floor's not moving. You're okay. Just, a few minutes longer, a few seconds longer. But when I closed my eyes, they'd have me stand someplace and move my feet in different positions and then close my eyes. The first time they had me do it, I fell over. And I just, and then they had me start doing it at home. And Char would have to stand next to me with her hand on my belt loops and just hold me to keep me from falling over. And I thought, this is dumb. Why am I doing this? And I'm spending an hour, three times a day, I'm spending an hour doing these 27 different physical therapies to get myself to a place where I can do things on my own. And it's progressively getting better and better and better. And then on top of that, God's in all that too. So it's not just me walking along, but it's God there too.
That's right. I want you to see some of those parallels again. I'm your pastor. I'm trying to connect the dots to how this story applies to us. I love the fact that Scott said there that a lot of it was going to depend on his motivation to get better. The Lord restores our soul. Praise God for that. But God has a process of restoring our soul as well. And part of that restoration is going to be, do you want to get better? And are you going to put effort behind getting better? Behind getting free from your past? Behind moving over and past that hurt? Will you read your Bible? Will you get into that truth? Remember, the Bible is one of the ways God's going to restore your soul. He's got to tell you the truth because you've been believing a lie. Now, that Bible's not going to read itself. You need to read it. And I look at Scott's passion to say, I want to see truth. I want to see what's real. And he does 3 hours a day of work towards that. And that's something you say, well, we're not saved by works. No. I'm not talking about your salvation here. I'm talking about your healing, your process of restoration. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. He's given you every tool. He's given you his spirit. But will you get involved in your healing process? Amen. Be passionate about it. And then he said, there's certain exercises that they do that you think, this is stupid. How is this helping? Even reading Psalms 23, I said I would get back to that. There are times we as pastors or teachers will say, you need to speak the word of God out loud. And some people say, I don't see how that's helping. This is stupid. It's working. We know you need this. The Bible says you need to speak life out of your mouth. You need to practice changing what's coming out of your mouth, even when you don't see it with your eyes. Are you seeing that? And it's like you do it because you were told to do it by your therapist. Not that we're therapists. Okay, I'm not saying that. But the principle rings true that God has given wisdom to people who've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people to say, look, God's word will prove true. God knows how to get you free. God knows how to get you on with your hope and your future. These are the principles and the truth. These are the exercises. You're going to need to pray. You're going to need to speak God's word. You're going to need to change what you put into your head. You're going to need to connect to people who know truth and speak truth into your life. We know how to help you do that, but you have to get involved and then do the work. And it's not quick and it's not easy. And like Scott said, sometimes here you go through a couple Bible classes or you go through a couple freedom classes or whatever, and you think, this isn't doing any good. My friend, it's doing every bit of good. But you got to let the process work. You've got to let the healing happen. You've got to let it take time. And then you also have to celebrate your successes along the way. Sometimes, like I said, we're so big on where we want to be in Jesus that we forget how far we've come, and then we lose motivation and we quit reading our Bible thinking we're not changing. You are changing. We quit praying because we think nothing's happening. Things are happening. We quit going to classes and small group discipleship things, or we quit growing thinking, well, it's not doing any good. It's doing so much good. And I want you to be able to champion and celebrate even the progress you're making, like Scott. That now he can keep his eyes closed for a few minutes and not fall over. Praise God for that. If you don't celebrate that, you're going to get so discouraged. And you're not going to realize you're growing. Some people, they're like, Pastor, I still swear and bad words still come out of my mouth. I'm like, I know, but look how far you've come. When we first met, you couldn't order orange juice without swearing. And now you can order orange juice and pancakes and you haven't said a bad word. Way to go. Way to go. We're so proud of you. Or beyond that, even the fact that you realize you're swearing and that your conversation needs to change. Look at the progress at that. There was a time where you didn't care about your attitude issues. You didn't care about your bitterness. And see, again, now you're renovating and you're seeing some of these things that need to change. That's all progress. The devil wants you to see, look all these problems you have. You must be so bad. The truth is, the fact that you can now quantify those problems, you're so much better than you've ever been. You see, you got to celebrate the progress and give yourself some compliments and some praise in a good way, some praise to say it's working. It is working. It's all working. And you're heading in the vision and direction of God for your life. Yeah, go ahead and celebrate that. That's fine. Char, we've talked about obviously the therapies and kind of the perspective and all that, but part of this, we've talked about the Word and the Holy Spirit, but relationships. Part of Scott's progress and part of Scott's success, much of it, he couldn't do it on his own. There's been relationships. Did you talk about the role of the family and support in his recovery?
Well, we all know life doesn't stop when something happens, whether it's an accident or a tragedy, and life didn't stop, you know? And yes, I tried to be there as much as I possibly could for him, but I needed people for me. And, you know, I jokingly said at the 9 o'clock service, even our girls became our support, you know? It was kind of funny, but one of the therapy things that he has to do is you literally have to throw a Nerf ball, which I didn't say Nerf ball the last service, it is a Nerf ball, towards his head and see if he can catch it. And you're dealing with somebody who can't see, and so the girls took turns. They actually would fight over who gets to throw the ball at Dad's head. So our girls played a huge role in the support. Our families, our moms, our dads, our siblings played a major role of support. But all of you in our church family, the staff of Life Church, all of you, if we didn't have people praying for us, if we didn't have the emails or the cards at just the right moment, you know, God's timing is everything. And we would, there'd be a moment where like, okay, God, what are you doing? We don't see it. But, you know, there'd be a word of encouragement from somebody, a gift. You know, you have to have that lifeline. You have to have those avenues of support. And the cool thing about our church is we have that here. You know, if you don't feel like the floor's stable and you need somebody to take a step with you, grab somebody, let them take a step with you. Yeah. They're willing.
Amen. We need people who know truth, who can tell us what's a lie and what isn't. Because when you're in the middle of your problem, when you're in the middle of your journey, you can't, like Scott said, you don't know if what you're seeing is real, isn't it? And so you need people that can see beyond your pain or see beyond your problem and say, look, this is true. You're going to make it. And it's not because I'm just saying it. It's because the Bible, God said it. The Holy Spirit has said it. This is truth. The floor is stable. The cars are not going to crush you. The buildings are not going to crush you. The Walmart aisles are not going to fall on top of you. You might feel like the world's going to fall on you, but it's not going to. Amen? And we're here to help you know truth and keep you free. We need each other. Okay? As much as we need, yes, teachers and prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and all that stuff, it's beyond that. It's not just what we do corporately in our programs and our classes. It's relationships that you need in small groups. It's the relationships you can make in the lobby, in volunteer teams. You need Christian brothers and sisters. And this is one of the hardest parts of our healing process, is asking people for help. Is acknowledging that I can't get better on my own. We think we could do it on our own. We're smart. We're sharp. Like Scott said, I should just get up and get myself better. Let me make sure you understand this point. There's no way Scott could have fixed Scott on his own without the help of human beings, human contact. Does that make sense? No matter how much he thought he should be able to do on his own and how passionate he was, there was no way. He wouldn't have been able to do one foot in front of the other. He wouldn't have been able to take one step without falling. He wouldn't even know if what he was seeing was real or not real. What I'm saying is, it's not an option whether or not you need relationships to help you in your freedom. You will not get better just alone and by yourself, isolating yourself. Does that make sense? So you need to connect. You need to ask for help. And that's not weakness. It's part of the good shepherd saying, I will restore your soul, but you have to trust me. And when I say, you know, hold a card in front of you and you're like, that's not going to do any good, or someone throw a Nerf ball at your head, how silly is that? when it says get in a small group or get in a group or a team that can know who you are and speak into your life, or get into a class or do such and such, or just tell the person that you sit next to at church every week that it wasn't the greatest week and you got hurt this week, and you just open up and you make yourself vulnerable, that is part of our healing process, okay? All right, I want you to clap for Pastor Scott and Ashar as we send them back and as I close. Amen. Amen. In every story of life change that you're going to see scripturally, you're going to see God's part, God does his part. You're going to see your part that you have to get involved in. And then you see our part, how we all have a part to play in people's process. Today, I wanted to help some of us in the room or watching on the internet identify that possibly what you're seeing and the point of view you're looking at your life and your future could be tainted by some trauma, accident, pain, failure, hurt. And that perhaps the vision of your life and the future that you see isn't accurate. You think you have no future. You think you have no hope. You think this is all there's going to ever be. You just see this as being a perpetual lifestyle, this bondage, this addiction, whatever it might be. And that is not the truth. God has a plan. God has a path. God has a way to restore your soul. So I wanted you to identify that possibly the negative life and the lack of expectation I have, possibly that's not an accurate vision of my life. You need to get there. Second, I wanted us to kind of get to a place where we realize that there's the process, the Word, the Spirit, relationships, and where you might need to get involved in the healing process of your own life. Lastly, this is concept of relationships with us. As a church, I believe God is continually bringing us people because he trusts you as a church to help people get free. And that it's not something that just the pastoral staff does. It's something that we as a church does together. And so we have to have kind of a mindset of how people's lives and thoughts and growth works so that we're not judgmental or condemning on people that might be taking more time than we think they should have taken. As a believer, maybe this person that we're working with or praying for got over the death of someone in their family so quickly. But you know what? This person's process of getting over that death may not be as fast, but may we not be critical in saying, you should be over this by now. See what I'm saying? There's a wisdom in getting them free, and it's not looking at them, beating them over their head, saying, how come you're not healing as fast as that person healed? We need to be good at helping people along their journey. Now, I'm not saying we lie to people and we don't talk to them about the growth or talk to them about their part of what they need to do. We need to speak truth in love. Helping people is not ignoring issues. You understand that? But there is a commitment we can make to people and say, look, we're going to walk this healing process with you. We're going to be here for you to say, this is true. This is real. I'm not going to leave you in your healing in this process. We're not going to abandon you. That's something that we as a church, I believe, can become excellent at. Understanding the growth and the freedom process in people's lives. Because our bottom line is this, is we want to see people healed. We want to see people free. Amen? Isn't that the goal? We want to see everybody that God brings in our path totally set free in living the destiny of God for their life. But you're a part of that process and how we react to them and how we help them. So I believe God is going to continue to make us wise and sensitive in a good way. And again, that's not giving people excuse to stay bound and to stay depressed and just, oh, that's okay, you know, just whatever. No, no, no. There's a way to speak truth and bring them out, but do it in a way that's empowering to them. Do it in a way that's really going to help them. Maybe give them a few other things that will work with them so they can get a little further than they were last week. Then may you hear this one last time. May you hear this. That God has a way to get you to his end, to get you to his destiny. And God isn't concerned about, he's not concerned with, like, we look at it like Scott. He says, I should be here by now. And we think that's what God's thinking. We should be here by now. God is so excited that you're on this journey and that you just don't quit walking through that valley of the shadow of death. You understand that? And God is celebrating every victory you're having along the way. And may we celebrate each other's victories, and may we celebrate our own victories even in that. Why don't you stand up? I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Let's pray over our lives. Would you please, altar teams, would you please come to the front? But I want to pray over your point of view. I want to pray over you that are here today or watching on the internet. Heavenly Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray over Life Church. And Lord, I pray that we would come to realize perhaps what we're seeing in our life that isn't true. a reality, a lifestyle, an expectation that doesn't line up with your truth over us. God, maybe there was a traumatic thing that happened to us. Maybe it's something we did to ourselves. But Lord, we thank you. You know how to restore our souls. I pray today you would help us to see, maybe some of us see for the first time, that perhaps what we see with our eyes isn't truth. Perhaps what we feel with our emotions and our feelings isn't true. That this isn't the end of them. This is the beginning of them. And that, Lord, I just pray right now that you would help us now to know what we need to link onto to see growth and freedom. How do we connect more to your word? Where does that happen in our life? Lord, how do we connect and let your Holy Spirit talk to us? And how do we obey the direction you give us? And where are the people? Who are the people, God? Now, I have to believe that if you want to use people in our lives, that you're providing people in our lives. So it's a lie that says, there is no one to help me. That is not true. Open our eyes to the people in our world that you have put there that maybe we've been ignoring, and give us courage to talk to them. I thank you that Life Church is free, and Life Church is moving forward as people in their growth process, in the vision of God for their life. I speak that over them. There is hope, there is future. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. The altar teams are going to be here today. Maybe perhaps your response is this, coming up and saying, I have a problem, or this is what's going on. This is my point of view that needs to change. They are trustworthy altar workers here, okay? They're not going to share your business, but they're going to pray. But then I encourage you, start asking God. You know, look in our church, you know, classes and stuff. We don't put those classes on just to make people busy. But there's probably something in there that relates to something that could help you learn the word, get closer to the Spirit, meet people, some place to connect. And then begin to ask and pray, God, who have you put in my world? I mean that. You say, this is one of those like card things where you think it's not going to do any good. It's going to do good, even to say this out loud. God, who have you put in my world that I can trust and that I can begin to share my journey with, that can speak truth to me? Now, again, it's not just talking to people, because not everybody knows truth. There are people you can talk to that are going to spit more lies back at you. They're not counselors. You understand that? They're not people that know God. They don't know the word, so they can't give you the help you need. There are people that God is going to bring into your world if you ask them. Say, God, help me to see the people that know truth and that can help me see it too. And God will be faithful to bring them, okay? Let me bless you and dismiss you. Father, I bless Life Church as they go. As the altars are open, I thank you for a great healing process. As they go, I thank you for future and vision over their lives, that they're not stuck, but they're going to move forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.